Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Gary Charles. His sermon is based on scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 24 through 39, and is entitled, Bring on the Poets, Refuse the Operation. Hear now from the sanctuary of Central Presbyterian Church, on the 22nd of May, 2016, Trinity Sunday, the Reverend Gary Charles.
And the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, Paul says, For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints with according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. For those whom God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom God predestined, God also called. And those whom God called, God also justified. And those whom God justified, God also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not withhold God's own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will God not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us all. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Liesl Mueller, an American, German-born, Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, has penned a poem that I love more every time I read it. In her poem, Monet Refuses the Operation, Mueller writes, Doctor, you say there are no halos around the street lamps of Paris. And what I see is an aberration caused by old age, an affliction. I tell you, it has taken me all my life to arrive at the vision of gas lamps as angels, to soften and blur and finally banish the edges you regret I don't see. To learn that the line I call the horizon does not exist. And sky and water so long apart are the same state of being. 54 years before I could see Rouen Cathedral is built from shafts of sun, and now you want to restore my youthful errors? Fixed notions of top and bottom, the illusion of three-dimensional space, wisteria separate from the bridge it covers. What can I say to convince you that the Houses of Parliament dissolve night after night to become the fluid dream of the Thames? I will not return to a universe of objects that don't know each other, as if islands were not the lost children of one great continent. Doctor, if only you could see how heaven pulls earth into its arms and how infinitely the heart expands to claim this world, blue vapor without end. The doctor in Mueller's magnificent poem wants Claude Monet, the French Impressionist painter who suffered cataracts in his later years, to have them removed. The doctor wants to cure Monet so the artist can return to his youthful fixed notions of top and bottom, right and wrong. Oddly enough, Monet has no desire for the doctor to intervene in his health. Monet does not pine for his youth in this poem. In fact, Monet fears that it is the doctor whose sight is distorted and does not even realize it. Monet wishes the doctor could see what he sees, could see gas lamps as angels. On first glance, to all of the prose-minded in the world, Monet's response seems ridiculous, even wasteful. Who is he to turn down the marvels of modern medicine? Who in his right mind turns down such a medical intervention? Who is he to refuse the operation? Long before Monet refuses the operation, in Mueller's poem, the Apostle Paul does the same. An opus to his refusal is his magnificent letter to the Romans. Ever since childhood, Paul has seen the world with 20/20 vision, a world circumscribed through his circumcision just days after his birth. A world of Jewish identity set off against all lesser identities, a world in which Gentiles were contaminants, a world in which Jesus was just one more religious huckster who got what he deserved. In Romans, Paul explains how his sight has changed over the years, how his once 20/20 vision was really only a religious illusion. He confesses that for some time he suffered from the youthful errors of fixed categories, of who's in and who's out, of who belongs to God and who has no place in the heart of God. Paul's critics sound like Monet's doctor. They tell Paul that his vision has become a little cloudy, distorted, leading him to spill out so much religious nonsense. Once a proud Pharisee, now Paul must be delusional, seeing things that no clear-sighted Pharisee would see. The proud, cataract-bearing Paul tells the Romans, "For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what is seen? The youthful Paul would have answered that question quite easily. Who hopes for what is seen? We do. The people of the covenant, the people of God's law, God's chosen people of Abraham and Moses, of Esther and Sarah. The more seasoned Paul refuses to return to such a limited vision of God's and God's people. He refuses to have the operation. He refuses to have his so-called distorted vision corrected. Paul will not return to a binary world of us and them. Along with Monet and Mueller's poem, Paul declares, "I tell you, it has taken all my life to arrive at the vision of gas lamps as angels, to soften and blur and finally banish the edges that you regret I don't see, to learn that the line I call the horizon does not exist, and sky and water so long apart are the same state of being." Now, it would be a stretch to describe the Apostle Paul in any of his letters, including Romans, as a poet. Even so, there are moments in which Paul soars with poetic eloquence in Romans, soars beyond his well-reasoned theological argument into the evocative world, where the houses of parliament dissolve night after night to become the fluid dream of the Thames. In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul's poetry overwhelms his prose and has many of the distinctive marks of Mueller's imagery. "Doctor, if only you could see how heaven pulls earth into its arms." Sounding less like a defense attorney arguing a case, and now more like a poet painting with words, Paul asks, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" In that very question, heaven pulls earth into it, into infinity. God, through Christ, pulls us into transcendent. And then the poet preacher Paul hits his full stride, and as he says, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just like Monet's aging, distorted vision helped him see the buildings of Parliament dissolve into the moving Thames, so Paul's cataract vision helped him see that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Powers, heights, depths dissolve day after day to become the fluid reality of God with us. It was my first night on call at Richmond Memorial Hospital. I'd been a seminary student for 2 years, and I felt prepared for whatever pastoral situation would come my way. I was so wrong. Just as I fell asleep in the on-call room, my beeper sounded. I headed to the emergency room to meet with a large family. Frantically wounded, worried about the young mother who had been accidentally shot earlier in the evening. The longer I stayed, the larger the population within this small room. Hours passed with no news. I kept trying to figure out what the protocol was and couldn't. And finally, too anxious to sit still any longer, I went and found an ER nurse who informed me that the young mother had died about an hour earlier. The doctor had been called back into surgery and wanted me to share the news with the family. I had no words to tell this family. They were absolutely sure that the mother would live and would be back home soon in her regular routine. What could I say? I would not insult them with preacher pablum about a better place or God was ready to take her home. Those words felt so hollow and limp in the face of such tragedy and despair. By wisdom greater than my own, the Spirit led me to the poetic question that Paul asked in Romans 8, what then are we to say about these things? When I had no words to say, Paul's poetry was sufficient. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even this horrific, untimely, unnecessary, accidental death. For nearly four decades, I've had the privilege of standing with friends in hospice rooms and later by gravesides when the harsh prose of death appeared to be the victor. In all those times, personally and as a pastor, it is the poet Paul who has helped me see beyond my youthful errors, to see how heaven pulls earth into its arms, to know that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For nearly four decades, I have sought the insight of Paul and Monet, the wisdom to refuse the operation, to see the world not as culture and family, schooling and white heterosexual privilege has taught me to see it, but to see it as God invites us to see it in the person of Jesus and the poetry of Paul. And so I say, bring on the poets. For I will not return to a universe of objects that don't know each other, as if islands were not the lost children of one great continent. Bring on the poets, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bring on the poets, for they are the ones who give us the courage and the wisdom and the tenacity to refuse the operation. Amen.
We're glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta, across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries of Central Presbyterian, we invite you to visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers that seeks to be bearers of God's love and justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.